Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Jesus 911, two-man car, Virgin Most Powerful Radio Station. My partner, Jesse Romero, myself, Ruben Nava, will be bringing you some briefing and some intel on what's going on out there. And things are getting turned up a bit with this this new administration, Jess, and this whole idea, the vaccine. And it's some of the things we're seeing out there is horrifying, and we're going to get into it. We're no frills, we're not going to pull any punches here. We don't take any prisoners in this sense. We're trying to release prisoners, actually. We're trying to get you guys free from sin and the bondage of sin. So,
And Ruben, too bad, a lot of people are involved in this whole bondage of sin with this entire collusion to vaccinate people, this forced vaccinations. This is sad and pathetic, and it just goes to show you the lack of faith in our society right now, that people can't even discern an unjust law from a just law. Yeah. And it's like people are sheeple, you know. Yeah. Whatever the government says, they're going to do it. I you know what? If you study the history of governments, the largest killings of people on planet Earth have happened as a result of rogue governments. I'm going to tell you right now, Ruben, I'm at the point now, I'm very cautious of government because I've just seen too much in my lifetime.
Yeah, you're right, Jess. We're going to be talking about this vaccine. What we saw, a video that came out, it was a horrific video that shows our beloved sheriff's department here in Los Angeles vaccinating disabled and special needs children. And it's a program, I guess, that the sheriff put on. He was using his trained paramedic deputies. They work our SWAT team. And, so they're trained EMTs as well. And they're administering the vaccine to some of these homebound people. So it just was disturbing because nowhere in my lifetime did I think that I'd see, you know, the law enforcement be used in this capacity. You know, I could see it that their whole purpose is when the SWAT guys are deploying, they are on standby because they're armed and paramedics can't get into the scene. So they're able to respond and give render first aid. But for them to be used and put out in the community, I was a little disappointed with our sheriff.
Which goes to the point that I've been saying for a long time. Most of anything that the left touches, they start to destroy. And that includes law enforcement.
Yeah.
The left at this point has law enforcement, at least the sheriffs and the chiefs of police. They have them basically walking lock, stock, and barrel and doing their bidding. I'm not talking about the line cop. I'm not talking about the officer that works on the line. I'm talking about management. It is so easy for them to be manipulated by Biden and the Democrats, and we're seeing it here. Law enforcement, the military, medicine, everything's being politicized by the liberal progressives that run this country because they're afraid of them. These administrators from law enforcement, from medicine, from the military, they're afraid. They're absolutely afraid for their high-paying jobs, all the security that they have. And so they just look at Joe Biden and say, yes, Massa, whatever you say, Massa. They're back in the plantation. This is what it is. This is the plantation mentality that Joe Biden has instituted in this country. And, Ruben, it is... absolutely pathetic that Sheriff Villanueva would again just jump into this political battle and stuff and start using his law enforcement. Yeah, I'm going to go out there and vaccinate people. I mean, you talk about a malformed conscience. I mean, it doesn't get any worse than that.
In the video, it's horrific to see some of these uniform officers restraining women with special needs and who are screaming and afraid for their safety. They don't know what's going on. Special needs, adult children and older homebound people. They don't even they can't give consent. And a psychiatrist, Peter Bregan, he's the champion of the right to informed consent. He successfully campaigned in the 70s against psychiatric practice of surgical lobotomy for mental illness. He told LifeSite News that it represents the worst of psychiatry, public health, and progressive politics coming all together in the service of globalism. No one is capable of giving consent, which includes children, those with severe illness, and those in institutions, including prisons, hospitals, and nursing homes, should be given a vaccine that is experimental and still undergoing clinical trials, said Bregan.
Yep, when I watched the video, Ruben, very disturbing. And it just reminds me of when people cross the line, just like people cross the line in the Nuremberg trials. And by the way, not only military and government Germans were prosecuted in that military trial as a result of the Holocaust, but also doctors were prosecuted. Mm-hmm. Doctors were also prosecuted in the Nuremberg trials. And again, if people don't know what that was after World War II. High-ranking people in Germany were brought to trial by international law and the War Powers Act because they were doing things. They prosecuted people in politics, the military, and even doctors because they were doing the Nazis' biddings and they were violating people's rights. And it just smacks of the Nuremberg trials. It's a move in that direction, and it's very disturbing to watch the video.
Hey Jess, somebody typed in a question to you asking about the jab and whether you're gonna
me personally.
Yeah, you personally. The question is, hey Jesse, I don't think you remember, but I emailed you about a vaccine the other day concerning my mother's stance on it. Unfortunately, people at our local parish are encouraging my mother to receive the notorious jab. They tell her that if she doesn't receive it and infect someone and they die later, it will be between her and God at judgment. Can you believe that? They're putting that on her conscience. I told her that we as a family lived 1 year through this pandemic and we are still alive and well. Therefore, there's no need to receive the jab. She's also concerned for the well-being of my grandmother and my brother who has breathing problems. But as I said, we are still alive and well 1 year after this thing started. I would like assistance and clarity on this issue for us, and I have no intention of receiving the jab. Thanks and God bless.
Okay, so here's my answer. I, for one, am not going to let a godless Democrat communist Chinese government stick my arm with an experimental injection. Did you hear what I call that? It's not a vaccine.
Yeah.
It's an experimental injection. We don't know the side effects. And these experimental injections are manufactured by big pharma for-profit companies that can't be sued if you die. I, for one, I'm not going to be the government guinea pig. They're not testing on animals. They're testing on us. We're supposed to trust in Jesus. That's the message of the Holy Bible and the message of the Catholic faith, and not worry about what can kill the body, but only fear God who can kill the soul, as the Bible says in Matthew 10:28. Also, I don't know why people are so afraid. St. Paul said, St. Paul feared nothing, not even death. In fact, when you read St. Paul's letters, he longed to die and to be with Christ, as he says in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. St. Paul also said in Romans 14:8, if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. In fact, if you're a Catholic in a state of grace and you die, you've won more than the lottery. That's why the early Catholic martyrs all saw death as a positive option. I do. I hope you do as well. Now, the virus, this is just another flu. Guess what? During flu season, people die every year during flu season. What else is new? Even the liberal New York Times, quoting a scientist, stated, the coronavirus is here to stay, but once most adults are immune following natural infection or vaccination, the virus will be no more of a threat than the common cold, according to a study published in the Journal of Science. In fact, my take, Ruben, is that more people are dying of depression, suicide, drug and alcohol abuse, and many people are dying without last rites and possibly going to hell. That's far worse than anything the Wuhan virus has done.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, our days are numbered here on earth. Psalm 139, verse 16 tells us that. Job 14, 5 and 6, Hebrews 9, 27, our days are numbered. There is nothing we can do to extend our time on planet Earth one day longer, according to the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 and 27. I don't care how many times you wash your hands, wear a mask, or self-quarantine. Remember what the Bible says in Genesis 18, 25, the last part of the verse. He says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Think about that. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Do you trust in God? I do as a Catholic. Of course I trust in him. And just basically just to wrap it up, I'll just tell the person that emailed me, start praying Psalm 91 every day. Psalm 91, it's not only a deliverance prayer against demons to protect, it's also a prayer to protect you from plagues, pestilences, and diseases. And also, in my 1962 Roman Missal, there's a beautiful prayer there. It's called Act of Resignation to the Divine Will. It goes like this. O Lord my God, from this moment do I accept from thy hands, with burning love and sincere contrition, with a calm and willing disposition, whatsoever death thou shalt choose to send me with its pains and griefs. Amen.
Amen. Hey, up next, we're going to be talking about a brave governor who is protecting the Second Amendment. You want to stay tuned.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back. Just I wanted to add a prayer to that. You said Psalm 91. There's a act of consecration to St. Joseph, and since we're in the year of St. Joseph, this is a beautiful prayer by St. Bernardine of Siena. Says, oh, my beloved Saint Joseph, adopt me as thy child. Take charge of my salvation. Watch over me day and night. Preserve me from the occasions of sin. Obtain for me purity of body. Through thy intercession with Jesus, grant me a spirit of sacrifice, humility, self-denial, burning love for Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, and a sweet and tender love for Mary, my mother. Saint Joseph, be with me living, be with me dying, and obtain for me a favorable judgment from Jesus, my merciful Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Just love that.
See,
prayer.
It's prayers of consecration, you know, just like that to our Lord, to our Lady, to Saint Joseph. Obviously, all prayers are to God through these intercessors. But the fact is, that gives you that assurance that everything's going to be well, no matter what happens today or tomorrow. And see, that's the benefit that we have as Catholics, Ruben. We know that we're surrounded by this celestial court called the Communion of Saints. And we have the ability to go to them and to calm our fears. That's what it does. Prayer calms your fears because it connects you to God through our Lord, through our Lady, through Saint Joseph. And it calms your fear. And that's the problem, is that most people in American society, Ruben, they allow their emotions to dictate their behavior because they don't have a life of faith. And with a life of faith, none of this makes sense.
Yeah. Just on a closing note on the what LA sheriffs were doing, they put on a statement because they were giving they wanted to just give the one jab, so that's the Johnson & Johnson, and that's been recalled. But they put out a notice that says, out of abundance of caution, Operation Homebound is on hold until further notice. Moreover, the LASD is awaiting guidance from the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health when our paramedic deputies can resume utilizing single-dose COVID-19 vaccinations for this program. So as you know, that Johnson & Johnson was causing some blood clots. And you know, Jess, the other thing that people don't realize, you know, they don't hear on the mainstream news is all the people that have died from the vaccine. You won't hear it. And
they're not allowed to put it on big tech. Yeah. You've got to go to these new tech medias like Rumble and Parler and some of this others. Yeah.
These are the numbers. Deaths following vaccinations from December 31st, 2007, and it doesn't say which vaccinations, but any vaccinations, all the way to November 30th, 2020. It's 13 years. Total vaccine deaths, 3,001. From December 1st, 2020 to April 13th, 2021, that's 4 months, total COVID vaccine deaths, 3,005. So, no thanks. I take my chances COVID, right?
They're experimenting on us. We're the experiment. Mm-hmm. They bypassed the animal experiments.
Yeah.
They just went straight to humans and then they, you know, signed this bill in the Congress saying that we can't sue the vaccine companies, but we are the experiment. Making no bones about that. And again, I'm glad that the Sheriff's Department backed off, probably all kinds of public pressure. But again, I think, you know, just to be honest, I think Sheriff Villanueva is trying to be on the cutting edge of law enforcement, saying, hey, President Biden, look what I'm doing over here in Los Angeles to try to help you out. It was what they typically call brown nosing. But I guess he got so much backlash, he had to stop his program. Good. I'm glad he listened to the voice of the people. But let's go over here to the story, Ruben. I think this story is going to restore your faith in some governors, because some governors have common sense. Mm-hmm. Talking about Governor Rickett from Nebraska, who declares Nebraska a Second Amendment sanctuary state.
I love that, Jess. They're taking a jab at the sanctuary cities, you know, for illegal immigrants.
Oh, yeah.
It's a play on words, man. Sanctuary state.
And that's exactly the culture wars is a fight with words, Ruben. That's how we're battling, is truth and lies. Yeah. But the battle comes through words. So the governor said that Nebraska has always been a state that has supported Second Amendment rights. He says, and as a symbol of that support, I'm signing a proclamation declaring Nebraska a Second Amendment sanctuary state with my signature, and it'll become official. A number of counties in the state have already declared themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries, so they already beat the governor to the punch. And so, of course, this move is coming in light of recent federal gun proposals and orders following several mass shootings. And by the way, here's something that's going to shock you, Ruben. There's a guy named Austin Roos from CFAM. He's a good Catholic investigative reporter. He did a report, and he taught me something. You know, you always hear that. You always hear they say, oh, mass shooters. Oh, that's mostly Caucasians. White people are the ones that are always involved in mass shootings. And so Austin Roos thought the same thing. So he looked into it and did an investigative report. And I was shocked to find out what he came up with. Hmm. He calls a mass shooting four people or more, right, killing four people or more in one instance. OK,
right.
So he did the and you can watch him on YouTube. He's got the whole report out there. Austin Roos on mass shootings. He says right now the people, the suspects that are most guilty or the most prone to mass shootings of killing four people and above are blacks, young black men.
Hmm.
I was shocked because I'm always hearing from the mainstream media, it's white guys always doing mass shootings. White guys. You hear that narrative constantly in the mainstream media. Austin Roos, good Catholic guy, believe that also. So he investigated it himself, and he found out it was quite the opposite.
Yeah. Well, because like cities like Chicago and Baltimore.
There you go.
You know, they're blasting away indiscriminately and hitting innocent people. And in fact, just this past weekend, there was a 13-year-old girl that was shot in the drive-thru at McDonald's in Chicago. So
it's so common, Ruben, it doesn't make the news.
No, and BLM doesn't stand up, and hey, there's no outrage, and that's a shame. It just shows you how that the whole BLM is just a scam. And even Breonna Taylor's mom, she says that they're a fraud. BLM has never given one dime to their
cause.
Wow. And also Michael Brown's father says, you know, because that's where it all started. Michael Brown back when Obama was still in president, and he hasn't received anything either. So they're people are starting to see that it's a fraud, and these women are they're lining their pockets and buying extravagant houses. But getting back to this,
unbelievable.
I was glad to see this governor, put this out, because there are plans in Biden's administration to get rid of a lot of streamline this gun takeaway from us. So Joe Biden unveiled a series of executive orders, including new designations on ghost guns, red flag legislation, and stipulated the pistols modified with stabilizer braces would be subject to the National Firearms Act. Just real quick, a ghost gun, for those of you who don't know, they're just weapons assembled. I don't have a problem with this one. Ghost guns and weapons are assembled by individuals from parts or kits that include one unfinished piece, typically the frame or the receiver, and then requires the purchaser to do some drilling and to make the gun fully functional. Because of a loophole in the federal gun regulations, the do-it-yourself weapons don't need to have serial numbers, and the kit or individual pieces can be sold without the background check that someone who purchased the gun from a federal licensed dealer would have to undergo. So then what's happening is that criminals are getting a hold of these now. So they're untraceable. So I could see that, but initially that's not how it was set up. These were gun lovers that wanted to build their own guns. And yeah. So the other one.
I know a lot of guys that do that. A lot of good Catholic men.
Yeah.
You know, men of faith and stuff. That's kind of a hobby for them.
Right. And then the red flag law, that's a gun control law that permits police or family members to petition the state court to order a temporary removal of firearms from a person who may present a danger to themselves or others. The judge makes the determination to issue the order based on statements and actions made by the gun owner in question. Refusal to comply will be arrested. But then the last thing is the stabilizing braces. And when looking this up, I have a gun that's a pistol, but it looks like a mini, kind of looks like an Uzi. It's a Russian made gun. And I tell you what, they had said you can't add a stock to it or this brace because that allows you to put it to your shoulder and make it like a, you know, assault weapon. But apparently the ATF rescinded that. And then so these braces, they strap to your hand. So it allows you to shoot these guns with one hand. And having seen this now, I've already ordered my my stabilizing brace for mine. And Jess, I don't know if you knew this, but the top five best gun friendly states, you want to know this. The top one is Arizona.
Wow.
Number two is Idaho. Number three, Alaska. Four, Kansas. Five, Oklahoma. And the bottom worst gun-friendly states, of course, California, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Hawaii, and New York. No surprise there.
Ruben, I'll tell you who's totally against any of these gun proposals that Congress is trying to push. The father of the slain police officer, Eric Talley, who was a good Catholic guy, seven kids, went to the TLM mass over in Colorado.
Yeah.
The father has spoken out against this. He said, "My son would have been deeply offended to know that his death would be used to promote gun control. Before being an officer, he enjoyed shooting." So this is what the father of the slain Colorado police officer, by the way, killed by a Muslim, Ahmad Al Alisa, who opened fire on him and 10 other people. And he's standing trial right now. Mm. But the point of all of this, Ruben, is that studies have been done on gun control. There's an institute called the Crime Research Prevention Center, John Lott. He's done studies on this, and he's come up with some very interesting things. He says, for example, the vast majority of mass shootings occur in gun-free zones. He says the gun bans in Australia and Britain also didn't work. In fact, there was an increase in violence. Here's another one. He says Washington D.C.'s gun ban worsened the city's homicide rate. All this information is put out by a researcher. His name is John Lott. And he's done all the research on gun control, and the fact of the matter is, Ruben, his institute's called Crime Research Prevention Center, so he's got all the data there. Here's another one. He says there's a correlation between higher firearm ownership and reducing police killings in an area.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Yep. We'll cover that on another day, maybe next time. Yeah.
All right. We'll be coming right back. We're going to talk about some horrible news, what the government is doing with aborted babies. Be right back.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And we're staying ready for you. We have a good article, and it's pretty horrifying to see that our federal government was caught buying fresh flesh of the aborted babies who could have survived as preemies, so that they're past the age of where 24 weeks or up to 20 to 24 weeks where they have been known to survive outside the womb. And this is what our government is involved in, Jesse. It's downright despicable.
Yeah, Ruben, I would have never thought that we would have entered into this type of immorality and into this type of absurdity. This isn't science anymore, Ruben. This is what Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein, did with a monster. And so what we're talking about is this story. The federal government has been caught buying fresh flesh of aborted babies who could have survived as preemies. Now you see why the Bible says that Satan is the God and prince of this world. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is read this article and you'll say, yep, the Bible is absolutely right. Look no further than the actions of our government. This is diabolical. And we as Americans should be outraged that our government is participating in this wide-scale human trafficking operation that's created a market for the harvesting of organs of murdered infants. And of course, as our government's gone progressive and leftist and socialist, these things are going to be swept under the carpet. There will be no prosecution for this under the Biden administration. Look what the article says. Last week, Legal Accountability Group Judicial Watch, these are the good guys,
They
dropped the bombshell, a nearly 600-page report proving the U.S. government has been buying and trafficking fresh aborted baby body parts. These body parts purchased by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to humanize mice and test biologic drugs in scientific experiments came from babies up to 24 weeks old gestation, just weeks from being born. And while Americans may be used to hearing pro-lifers beat the warning drum on abortion groups harvesting baby bodies and selling them for research, I mean, who hasn't heard about the lawsuit against David Delight and his good Catholic TLMer who exposed Planned Parenthood haggling over baby lungs and livers at dinner parties? Well, this time, guess what? It's not Planned Parenthood. It's our U.S. government. They've been caught trafficking baby parts. So now you see why the government prosecuted this good young adult Catholic, David Delighton, for recording Planned Parenthood's doctors admit that they sell baby body parts. Why did they go after David Delighton? Because our own government, they're involved in this as well. Yeah. Again, Ruben, like I said, this is Frankenstein science. And if our courts were fair and impartial, I mean, I remember when we were in the academy, we had pictures of Lady Justice is blind. Really? I don't think so. If Lady Justice was blind, we would start our own Nuremberg trials here in America as a result of this evidence.
Hmm. It reminds me of Luke 16:15. It says, "And he said to them, 'You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God.'" And that's exactly what this is, an abomination.
Amen.
These are God's children, and this is the way they're being treated. So anyway, recent emails uncovered by Judicial Watch between FDA employees and the California-based Advanced Bioscience Research, the ABR, proved the agency spent tens of thousands of dollars buying aborted babies for unethical scientific experiments between 2012 and 2018. In fact, in 2018, the Trump administration terminated the contract halting government fetal tissue research due to concerns the contracts were unlawful. And so Judicial Watch new FOIA request adds 575 pages of records to its existing 2019 lawsuit against the agency. And you know, just there, go ahead.
People don't realize all the good that President Trump did for the pro-life movement. It's all these little things like this that he removed, got rid of through executive order to save babies, to augment the pro-life movement. Most people have no idea how pro-life our former president was, Ruben. And these guys today, by the way, they've been caught red-handed.
It was very disturbing. I know this is a disturbing topic, and you know, I understand when you read this article, there's links you can click on to show videos, and these undercover people who are posing as biomedics, or I forget the name of the company, they were looking for parts, and they're speaking to doctors, and the language that's coming out of these doctors' mouths. One lady who's in Arizona, she used to be here in California. She's Planned Parenthood down in Arizona now, and she makes a mockery of this because she says, "Yeah, I have to be careful about who's in the room." See, I because the potential buyer is saying, I need them, I don't need them cut up. I need the babies intact so that I don't just don't destroy the cells and whatnot. And you know, she says, well, it depends on who's in the room. You know, I can't be bringing these babies out looking like a baby, you know. Like, what do you think it is? It's a baby. And she says, and then in Arizona, they're pretty conservative. So, you know, she has to find ways to extract them so that they're not looking like they would in the picture. So, and there's other doctors that are speaking and it's all about lining their own pockets. They say, I could do that or I could do that. They're making little side deals to get rich on baby parts. So it's disgusting.
Yeah. Yep. The article says this is not the first time advanced bioscience research has been in the spotlight, as the company was under congressional investigation for its longstanding involvement in fetal tissue trafficking. One of the oldest fetal tissue procurement firms, the company makes millions every year by harvesting organs like lungs, livers, eyeballs, and brains from aborted babies and reselling them at a profit. Emails between the Food Drug Administration officials and advanced bioscience research employees reveal disturbing conversations as they collaborate to buy and sell aborted fetuses. Records indicate advanced bioscience research was paid $12,000 up front per baby, some survivable out of the womb between the gestation age of 16 to 24 weeks. Most purchases are for intact thymuses and livers shipped fresh on wet ice. Ruben, just reading this article, if this is not enough for a Catholic never to ever vote for the Democrat Party again and abandon that party forthwith, I don't know what'll make you abandon. This article, this should be the coup de grace. You're saying, what party supports this? I want nothing to do with this party. The article says, with the callousness of picking a cut of meat from a butcher shop, an FDA doctor requests tissue samples be procured from a baby boy, as they claim, quote, it's strongly preferred to have a male fetus if at all possible, but undetermined sex or female is better than no tissue. Even more appalling is an advanced bioscience research employee complaining about the difficulty of identifying the sex of aborted babies. He said, quote, we only check external genitalia. If it's not there, we have no way of telling, close quote. Because the fact techs are unable to identify the sex of aborted babies, that's no surprise to those familiar with the barbaric nature of abortion procedures, which require clinic staff to piece together mangled remains of babies after their limbs and organs are torn apart. Just remember that scene of the movie, Unplanned. That's exactly what some of these paid employees have to do.
Jesse, if we're talking about dog parts, the country would be outraged. Jesse, you saw what happened to Michael Vick. He was doing dog fighting. His pit bulls were getting mangled, and And it was such an outrage. They sent him to prison. And it was such a disgusting sense going on across America for what he was doing to these poor dogs. And now we're talking about human babies. And where's the outrage here? This is it's beyond comprehension that this is going on in supposed to be a first world country. I'm so
and I'll tell you why it threw me, because this is it's a post-Christian country. We're a country now that's embraced secular humanist enlightenment thought. You know, we're enlightened and stuff. And so it reminds me of a book that was written back in 1932, What's Happening in America. The liberals are trying to create this false utopia. In 1932, Aldous Huxley wrote a book called The Brave New World. And he talked about a world that was now dehumanized. He talked about a world where there's the absence of spirituality, the absence of family life, and everybody's just obsessed with physical pleasure. Everybody's obsessed with the misuse of technology. And then he also talks about in this book, Brave New World, that there's a future drug that just helps people escape reality for a few hours a day. It's called Soma. Well, to me, Soma is medical marijuana. That's the Soma. That's the wonder drug Aldous Huxley spoke about that now gets people to just forget about their problems, the absence of spirituality, and the misuse of technology. Ruben, we are here right now. We are living in the brave new world spoken of in 1932.
Mm, you're right, Jess. Good point. This is as if these casual orders weren't horrific enough, more emails confirm that the FDA bought organs of babies who were aborted well after 20 weeks gestation, after the time a baby usually can survive outside the womb. If nothing else, this confirms the reality of late-term abortions in the United States, which pro-abortion cheerleaders have denied for decades. And so they've pushed the limits further and further so they can get to this point where they can harvest these baby parts. You know, in the beginning, right, abortion was just the first trimester, you know, and then gradually, well, okay, we'll go to the second trimester. Now, there's all the way up until birth, and it's just not right, Jesse. And these people who are involved in this activity, God is going to have swift justice on them.
Oh,
you know, because they don't even see the error of their ways. They're just... They bought hook, line, and sinker into this travesty, and God have mercy.
Yes, God have mercy on their soul.
We'll be right back. Finish up this article on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, Proverbs 29:27. An unjust man is an abomination to the righteous, but one whose way is straight is an abomination to the wicked. That is what that's how the left sees us, Jess. We're fighting for the right to life, and you know what? This is on our watch, and so we have to step up and we have to do more. You know, whether it's out in front of Planned Parenthoods and 40 Days for Life and whatnot, writing to your congressman, not voting these people into office that are making these decisions.
And they're all Democrats, Ruben. We can't, as a Catholic right now, a Catholic that practices his faith can never vote for the Democrat Party or any Democrat. Yeah. They're all lock, stock, and barrel, you know, lined up with the whole pro-abortion ethic.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to show my T-shirt to one of our listeners. A friend of mine, Hector, sent this to me. It's perfect. It says, "Destroy communism." You can see that right there. This is what we're up against, Jesse.
Yeah, absolutely. Look at the last paragraph of this article. It's really good. It says, "Just until demanded otherwise, our society is complicit in the unchecked abuse and commodification of preborn children. Moral urgency is incumbent on us to condemn these atrocities sanctioned by the federal government's lead medical researchers and fight to stop them. We may lose more battles before we win, but we cannot say we never knew." And this is why, Ruben, elections have consequences. Every Catholic that voted for Joe Biden and his administration into power, even though we know the elections were seventh commandment,
Yeah.
The fact is, you're gonna have to answer for voting him in on Judgment Day. You voted a very evil man and a very evil administration. Don't let his dementia fool you. He's a very evil man. And why do I say he's evil? I'm going to give Fulton Sheen's definition. He says you have bad men and you have evil men. He says a bad man is somebody who, like, personally does bad things. He lives a life of vice, you know, just, you know, alcoholic, you know, says bad words, cusses at his wife, you know, watches pornography. He's a bad guy, okay, personally. He says, but an evil man is somebody who's a bad man, but who has power. And now he has influence over large amounts of people, and he maximizes his power for evil purposes. That's Joe Biden. He's way beyond a bad man, Ruben.
Yeah.
He's an evil man because he's got the highest office in the country to maximize damage on the rest of us. And I'll tell you why I'm insulted about all this. This isn't science, what they're doing. The Catholic Church is the inventor of science, of real science, you know? In fact, if you want to know how far, historians say that the first scientist, so to speak, was a monk in Europe back in 732 A.D., he was an abbot. He was named at St. Peter's Monastery. And this he became the bishop of that diocese. His name is Bishop Virgil. Back in 732 A.D., he was already in Europe. In his diocese, he was already entering into the study of science and how things fit together and how things come apart and the planetary system. So the Catholic Church has been, you know, doing real science for many years. This is Frankenstein science, what we see the Biden administration doing. In fact, I looked at the history of science on an encyclopedia, and it says historians of science credit Catholics such as John Buridan, Bishop Virgil, Nicole Oresme, and Roger Bacon as the founders of modern science. So, Ruben, it's our church, it's our people that gave the world true science, not garbage science. And I could just give you a couple of giants. I mean, I can give you a whole lot. Louis Pasteur, Catholic, inventor of pasteurization. Gregory Mendel, Catholic, father of genetics. St. Giuseppe Moscati, Catholic, pioneer in treating diabetes with insulin. Louis de Broglie, Catholic, Nobel Prize winner in quantum mechanics. Father George Lemaître, Catholic, father of the Big Bang Theory. Jerome Lejeune, Catholic, discovered the cause of Down syndrome. Galileo Galilei, Catholic, father of modern astronomy. This is why it's insulting to see what the Biden administration is doing with so-called science, because true science builds society, builds culture, and builds lives, not destroys them.
Yeah, Jess, this just hits home for me because, as I've said before, I'm going to be a granddaddy in about 6 weeks, and I can't even imagine, you know, a baby being.
Well, congratulations, Papa, Grandpa.
thank you. I'm looking so forward to it.
Oh yeah,
and this smacks of just evil that these people are involved in. And St. Paul says too, he says, take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them.
That's right.
And we have to expose them. But the problem that I see, Jesse, is that these, who's going to go down for this? You know, nobody, you know, it's an outrage, but these Teflon Democrats, you know, they're so entrenched in this swamp that, they have plenty of protection
right.
from prosecution. The DOJ, who would have to investigate this, they're all Biden's appointees that are all lefties, so nothing's going to be done.
You're right. They're all godless lefties that they're not going to prosecute a crime like this because, again, they have no moral compass. And I'll tell you, Ruben, who's behind all of this. Father Chad Ripperger says that Satan has five generals that work underneath him. He calls them the five generals. They sit at the table with Satan. He says that the general of modern-day abortion is Baphomet. He's a demon of child sacrifice, who, by the way, we reject, renounce, and rebuke in Jesus' name. He's having a field day right now, and the Democrats, whether they know it or not, they are worshiping this demon general. Also, another thing, Ruben, the guys at Liber, the instructors at Liber Christo, they're always using this term. They're always saying demons militate to absurdity. So what does that mean? That means in the field of Catholic spiritual warfare, what that means is when exorcists use that term, demons militate to absurdity, that means that demons cause confusion to the individual and society. So on a micro and a macro, they cause confusion, they cause deception, and they promote falsehood. And they're always pushing till again, there's this progression of evil. For example, I mean, you look at how we got homosexual marriage. How did that start off? First, it starts off with the fornication laws were taken out of the books in the 60s. Okay. Yeah. Fornication was now, hey, that's no problem. Then you move next. Pornography was legalized. Next, the birth control was it was legalized as well. And so what demons do, they keep on militating, pushing society to absurdity. They start taking these little laws and then they go big. Boom. Now we're going to give homosexual marriage. Yeah. But it starts by these little laws that they chip away at. Take away the fornication laws, take away pornography being outlawed, make pornography legal. Take away birth control, make sure now it's legal. Little by little, they chip away till all of a sudden you wake up one morning and you see, wow, how did we get here? That's what it means by demons militate a person in society to absurdity.
Wow. That's exactly where we're at, Jesse. And we have a duty as Catholics to stand up for the rights of the unborn. We have a duty to speak out against this abomination in this the type of country that we're living. And you know, we're allowing people just to come into the country just rushing in. You see what's happening at the border, you know, with these babies and children that are being sent ahead of their parents to, you know, try to make a name for a life for themselves. But you know, there's so much that's going on right in front of us that, and this being one of them, this idea of abortion on demand and harvesting baby parts, this is just the height of evil, as you said, what Fulton Sheen, how he mentioned it. So we have to speak out against this, you know. Open our mouth, you know, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor, the needy, and let's just get this country back on track. We need to be prayer warriors, and that is, I mean.
And Ruben, also one thing, let's not fall into despair, because there are good people running for office. We have to vote for them. There are some good, solid, patriotic, conservative people of faith running for office in all parts of the country. We have to vote for them. Quit voting for the party of your grandfather and your great-grandfather. That party's gone.
Yeah, that's right. And the lady who wrote this article, Edie Hypo, she works at the Center for Renewing America. She's previously worked at the White House Office of Management and Budget under President Trump. So she's well-thought-out a person in politics.
Ruben, I'll tell you, you know, like for us as Catholics, the most important thing for us is to receive the sacraments. You know that, for us to get to heaven. Yeah. Sanctifying, that's where you get sanctifying grace. I'll be honest with you. Many satanic leaders in the Church of Satan around the country, they've openly stated that abortion is their sacrament. And so just like you and I, you and me will move mountains to receive the sacrament, because that's what gets us to heaven, that sanctifying grace that comes from Christ. Well, for Satanists, they say the same thing. They say abortion is a sacrament, which means what? Just like the blood sacrifice of Jesus made present at the Mass empowers us to pursue a life of virtue and faith and holiness, the blood sacrifice that's coming out of these abortion clinics empowers Satanists and witches and evil people in this country, like BLM and Antifa. It empowers them to continue, promoting evil.
Mm. That's right. So, Psalm 94:16 says, "Who rises up for me against the wicked? Who stands up for me against evildoers?" When we're standing up for this injustice, we're standing up for our Lord.
Amen.
So let's be on his team. And remember, praying the rosary daily. If you're not praying the rosary, you're not on the team. So be out there, be on the front lines, and speak boldly to your family members. You know, we all have family members that are left of center and have voted for these politicians. Let's get them squared away. Love them back into the church.
Amen.
Wrap it up, Jess.
Hey, if you like what you hear, then like us, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell to be notified, share this show with others. Up next, Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics, coming back from the Midwest Command Center. We are EOW, End of Watch. We're out.
10-7. Bye-bye.